I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Somebody say testimony time. Amen. I believe we have a powerful testimony this morning from Sister DJ. Let's put our hands together and encourage her as she comes. Amen.
Hello. Hello. Okay, so my testimony is this. So when I first came to college, I was really struggling, you know. I was just confused. I didn't know what I wanted. I wanted to do a lot of things. I didn't know, like, really know what was right. I was just confused, you know, and I was always going back and forth, like, is there a God? Is there not a God? You know, just always on the edge. And then Paul, he had a Bible study at my college, and this guy tried to get me to come. I didn't want to come because at the time I wasn't even going to church. Like, I just, you know. And then finally I came the second semester, and then the first day I was like, wow. I was like, I needed that. It was so good. It just hit me all the right places, you know. And then ever since then, I feel like Paul's been just such a blessing to my life, because ever since then, like, things have been changing for me. Things have been going in a different direction. I'm not really happy about this, but literally everyone that I used to hang out with, they're going in a different path. I feel like God snatched me or something. Like, you know, I have friends, like close friends, that people that I used to grow up, hang out with, you know, who've had abortions already, who, you know, are in relationships that aren't good, who people who dropped out of college. Like, and me, I should have been, you know, I could have been just like that. What was different about me, you know? You know? But I believe it's the grace of God. Amen. I think there's a protection on my life. And I'm really thankful that God used someone like Paul to come to my campus and just encourage us young people to do more for God. Yeah. 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 And my life has never been the same since November 27th, which is a service here. I'll never forget it. And I would have never had that experience if he would have never done it. So my only advice is to you, just listen and don't take what people say as a grain of salt. Just really, really take it in, because these people, this is a good church. You found a good place. Amen. And don't think you came here by chance, like just because a friend invited you or a coworker. Don't think that's a little thing. Like, if you're here, it's actually God that brought you. So yeah. So you should, yeah. 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 So think about it. Really think about it. Listen to them. Listen to what they say. They're saying good stuff. They know what they're talking about. Yeah. Just listen.
Wow. What a testimony. Amen. It's a powerful church. Amen. It is a beautiful church. Amen. And I believe the Lord is continuing to bless us even more. Amen.
Father, we thank you for this morning, and thank you for the blessing of gathering at your feet. Indeed, there is nobody greater than you. There is no one like you. There's no one who loves like you do. There's no one who forgives like you do. There's no one who helps like you do.
Amen.
And there's no one who steps in like you do. We pray that this morning we will experience your greatness, that you will touch us in ways that no one can touch us. You will speak to us in areas and places where no one has spoken to us. You will affect our lives in places where no one has affected us. And Lord, that you will encourage us in a way that no one has encouraged us. Open our eyes, Lord, to behold wondrous things out of your law. Thank you for this beautiful morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus, and you may be seated, please. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, are we missing some light? Which one? You kind of feel like some light is absent. What? The blinds? All right. Maybe it's just a feeling. Amen. Right. Now, today I want to share with you the Word of God. Amen. And I want to talk about a very important subject because in just a couple of weeks, we're going to be celebrating what we call Founders Day in our church. Amen. Founders Day. And actually, the whole of the month of May, we're going to be talking about the subject of honor. Amen. And honoring God's gift and the person that God has used to birth this great church. And right in the middle of it is Founders Day. Amen. And so today I want to begin by sharing with you about fatherhood. Amen. I want to talk about fatherhood. Hallelujah. And we're going to go on from there. So let's start from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. And Professor, you're welcome again. Wow. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 is the book and chapter. Amen. And verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. Now, today I want to introduce this book. The book is Those Who Are Dangerous Sons. Yeah. You know, you would have thought that a son or every son is a blessing, but some sons are dangerous. Yeah, dangerous sons. And of course, dangerous daughters as well. Hallelujah. And this book will teach you how not to be a dangerous son. And how to identify a dangerous son. How to identify it in yourself. Do you see what I'm saying? So that you do not become a dangerous son. It is a book that teaches you about the whole father-son relationship, which many of us often do not get right. It's a very complicated relationship because the nature of a father and a child's relationship is such that out of one source, you're also getting love and correction. Affection and correction are coming from the same pipe. And sometimes you can be confused. You can be confused. Sometimes when the correction comes, you can interpret that to mean the lack of affection. Do you see what I'm saying? And then sometimes even fathers are confused because they also feel that if I have affection, I shouldn't correct. Do you see what I'm saying? But the scripture rather says that it is affection that makes or births correction. That it is whom the father loves that he chastises. Do you understand? So it's a complex relationship, and yet out of it comes blessing. Your life actually depends on it. Your well-being depends a lot on your relationship with whoever God has given to be a father to you. Amen. Same thing with the church. Every church has a father. I mean, once it was birthed, someone must have given birth to it. So every church has a father. Now, as churches develop and the churches grow and the churches advance, they become big and so on, and people are introduced to other people, you know. Like the verse we're about to read says, maybe we can start with that, and you will understand better what I'm saying. It says, for though ye have, in the meantime, I'm saying, try to get one of these books. Amen. Okay. Now, though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, ye have not many fathers, or yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Amen. Now, this is Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian church, and he was telling them that, look, you guys may have 10,000 instructors in Christ. Say an instructor in Christ. Right. So you can have an instructor in Christ. And look at the word that is being used. It says instructor. And usually you can't give instruction without authority. You get it? So a person can have so much authority, you know, and yet all that he is an instructor in Christ. Amen. Now he says, although you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. So a father is different from an instructor. Isn't it? A father is not the same as an instructor. An instructor may be a father, or a father may instruct, but not all instructors are fathers. Does it make sense? Yeah. All of us have been to school. I mean, I hope, I pray, I think so. All of us have been to school, and over the course of our lives have encountered many instructors, many people who have taught us many things, many people who have spoken to us with authority. In fact, many people who have sometimes put more fear in us than we have for our fathers. True or false? Yeah. Many kids would do more easily what their teachers would say, their instructors would say, than they would what their father or mother, as the case may be, would say. Hallelujah. So you can imagine how the whole thing works out. But the Bible is saying that you may have 10,000 instructors. And I'm saying that as a church develops, and as a church, especially like ours that has many branches, and, you know, we're always developing and raising pastors, gifted people, anointed people, and so on, then the church can run the risk of losing sight of the Father, do you see, because of the multiplicity of the instructors. Isn't it? The instructors multiply, you see, and you can see the Bible is outlining the relationship. He says that you have 10,000 instructors versus few fathers, you see. So it seems the instructors multiply faster than the fathers, isn't it? Yeah. And that's life. You will meet more instructors than you will meet fathers. Hallelujah. But Paul was telling them that you have to remember that you do not have many fathers, although you have many instructors. Then he goes on to define who the father is. And he said, the father is the one who gave birth to you, the one through whom you came to be. So he said, I am talking to you this way. You don't have many fathers because in Christ Jesus, I have given birth to you by preaching the gospel to you. Amen. By preaching the gospel to you, I have given birth to you. And that makes me a special person to you, in spite of how many instructors you may have. Can I have an amen? Amen. So in our church, we believe in identifying very clearly who our Father is. Do you understand? We believe in identifying very, and that's a very important thing, because let me just jump to another verse in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Isn't it? Then verse 2. Verse 2 says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. You know, this is the first commandment with promise. And what is the promise? Verse 3, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on earth. Hallelujah. That it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on earth. I think there are two attractive phrases in this verse. One of them is that it may be well with thee. I don't know if you're not interested in something like that. But I think that every normal person is interested in their well-being. Do you understand? Even when people behave abnormally, their abnormal behavior is birthed out of a belief that that abnormal behavior will guarantee their well-being. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. If you see someone who takes off their clothes in the street, it is because he honestly believes that he's better served that way. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So we're all designed and created to look for our well-being. So you must be interested in what it takes for it to be well with you. And there are not many verses in the Bible that show you very clearly what you must do in order for it to be well with you. But here is one of them. This one is saying clearly that it may be well with thee. Amen. That you will do well so that you flourish. Hallelujah. You must believe that you can flourish. You must believe that you can do well. God wants you to do well. If God didn't want us to do well, he would hide this verse. He wouldn't tell us what it takes to do well. But he's saying that it may be well with thee. And the second attractive phrase is that thou mayest live long on earth. You see, you thought that living long is a function of your LA Fitness membership. Hey. That if you were to join LA Fitness, you would live long, isn't it? That if you were to renew your membership and just revive it, you would have nailed it. Longevity will belong to you, isn't it? Some people think that living long is a matter of vitamins. You get it? It's just a matter of vitamins. Some people think that living long is just simply going purely organic. You get it? I mean, try to bring everything down to organic living. Even your water must be organic, right? So it shouldn't come from the tap because it would have been filtered through all kinds of chemicals and so on. You must find a creek somewhere behind your house, you know, and then just fetch your water all natural and just be drinking it because that's pure organic living. Well, all those things may contribute to a healthy life. But you see, God, who is the creator of the earth. See, God is like the one who issues visas for people to come to the earth. And he determines how long everyone gets to stay. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So when you get into the earth and you live right, it doesn't mean that it automatically extends your visa. It just means that while you're here, you stay out of trouble. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But the visa itself has an expiry date. That one, only the issuer of the visa can extend it. You see, and he will extend it based on reasons that are acceptable to him. And he is telling us one of the reasons for extending people's visa on earth. That is how you relate with the person through whom you came to be. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So God is saying that if you want to live long on earth, one of the things you must do is to honor your father. And to be able to honor your father, you first have to identify him. You have to know him very, very clearly. That who is my father? Who is the person through whom I came to be? We as a church are not exempt from this because the church also has a father. Do you understand? The church also needs well-being. If you know a little bit about churches, you know that very commonly it is not well with many churches. Many churches are plagued with so much trouble, so much confusion, so many problems, and at the end they even have to close down. They have to just shut down the church because it's just too much trouble. Too much sickness in the church. The whole church is diseased. You get it? And when any disease is allowed to have its way for long enough, it terminates life. And that's what happens to a church. So over a period of time, you will find out that the church cannot exist anymore. Do you get it? So the church needs longevity because the church also needs to be around for a long time. The church needs to be around to be able to serve you, to be able to serve your children, to be able to serve your children's children. I mean, if it is good for you, it must be good for posterity as well. It must be good for generations coming. The church is supposed to be here to be a light in this increasingly dark world. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Does it make sense to you? The world is getting darker and darker and darker and darker. Actually, yesterday someone sent me a little video clip about it was about different people and, you know, how people feel and how society allows them to live as they feel. And he said people felt like getting married to the same gender and society allowed it, and people felt like, you know, doing so many other things. But one interesting new trend is that now I hear there are people who say they're, I think, transgenerational. Do you get it? Yeah, transgenerational. Because now you have transsexual, trans whatever, but one of them is transgenerational. And a transgenerational person is an adult who says he feels like he's a kid. Do you understand that? He is a kid trapped in an adult's body. So he needs a nanny. Right? Yeah, he needs a nanny. Yeah. And he's also saying that if you can allow someone to change his gender and make provision for him, because that's how he feels, then you must also accommodate him because he also honestly feels, in spite of being a grown man, in spite of having a beard and everything, he feels he's a kid. Do you get it? So he feels like he wants to crawl around the house. He wants to, you know, he needs, you know, eat from a bottle. You know, it's a new thing. And someone had posted an ad on Craigslist, you know, looking for a nanny as a transgenerational person. Yeah. So those of you who are looking for jobs. And the person who was running the commentary was asking, what is next? Wow. Well, get ready for more surprises. The world is getting increasingly dark. And the darker the world gets, the more relevant the light becomes. Yeah. Jesus said that we are the light of the world. So we need more churches. Amen. We need more pastors. We need more people giving themselves up to preach the gospel and to keep the light burning. We need more people to do that. So the church needs longevity. Hallelujah. And you bet that the devil is against the church being around for a long time. The devil doesn't want the church to be around for the devil wants every church to just enter into confusion and be dissolved. That's what the devil wants for every church. But he's a liar. Amen. Yeah. We're going to become bigger and bigger by the grace of God. Amen. So God has given us the keys to ensure that it is well with us as a church and to ensure that we survive for a long time to come. And the key is right here. He says that it may be well with you and that you will live long. And the key is actually in the verse before, which is verse 2. Verse 2 is to honor thy father and thy mother. Hallelujah. So it's for you. It's for you as an individual. It is for you as a church. We all must believe in honoring our father. Amen. And a father is synonymous with the word founder. Yeah. You know, I'm the founder of my family. Yeah, it started with me. It didn't start with her. It started with me. Yeah, it's just that I engaged her. She was the first person I engaged to help me carry out this vision. Do you get it? Yeah. And as for the kids, I mean, they just came along. They are products of the vision. Do you get it? It's a whole enterprise that started, you know, and they are all people that came through. And like all employees, they'll be gone at some point. You getting the picture? Yeah. So my other name is founder. You get it? Yeah. But it relates to just that specific family. Amen. Our church family also has a founder. Do you understand? We shouldn't behave like we just came to be. Yeah. Don't extend your Big Bang theory too far. That tree outside may have come out of a bang, but not this church. This church was created and established by someone. Hallelujah. Someone gave birth to the church, and that person must be honored. Hallelujah. Must be honored all the time. We must be careful to honor that person. As churches exist for a long time, you have people who join it who don't know the origins and who don't know how it came to be, who don't even know who the founder is. They join the church and come and meet a board. You know, a board that is maybe voting on issues and so on and so forth. And the whole thing is just an organization, which is okay, fine. But it is good to know how it came to be. Hallelujah. Amen. So that we can honor the right person so our blessing does not go away from us. You know, sometimes people do not understand the struggles they go through in life. But it is often or sometimes because you don't know what you're up against that you have broken a spiritual law that is fighting you. Do you get it? Now, when a spiritual law is fighting you, it doesn't matter what you do right. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter what you do right. It takes more than doing the right things. See, if you come into this country and you don't commit a crime, it doesn't mean your visa will not expire. Do you get it? It will expire whether you did the right thing or not. Of course, if you do wrong, then it can actually expire quicker. Do you see? Yeah. Whatever time you were given can be cut very short, especially if the president is the one we have now. Then you can be sure that a lot of long things can become shorter. Do you see? If you don't behave properly. Can I have an amen? Amen. Does it make sense what I'm sharing with you? So many people go through life struggling and they don't understand why. They think the solution is maybe a relocation. Maybe a change in career. Just change the career. Change what you do for a living. Some people feel that maybe you should change even who you are living with. Yeah, just change who you're living with, who you're married to. You know, change anything that can change. You know, because in our world today, a lot of things can be unliked. You get it? You once liked it. The new status is you go and you unlike it. Isn't it? Yeah. The other day I was going through some Facebook stuff, and I was looking at a friend's Facebook page, and he had something funny. And as I was just looking at it, before I knew what had happened, my finger had touched the thumbs up thing, and I had liked it. And I was just thinking, oh no, I didn't mean to like this thing. And if my friend finds out that I like this thing, I think it will embolden him. So I was looking for a way to unlike him. So then I realized that I can just tap the same thing again. And suddenly, I have unliked him. Easy. You get it? So our world changes things so easily. But I want to say that many spiritual things cannot be changed like that. And you need to know it. Hallelujah. God is showing us how you can be guaranteed to have a life that is flourishing and how you can live long. This is one of the Ten Commandments, right? Honor your father and your mother. Can you imagine that when God just summarizes all the rules of life into ten, one of them is how you treat your father and mother. Yeah. That means the least respect you should give to it is that one-tenth of your life actually depends on this. But if you go on, you will see that most of the Ten Commandments have to do with how to relate with God. This is the one that shows you how to relate with people. Hallelujah. And God is showing us that it is important. It is important to honor your father. You have to honor your father. You have to honor. I'm just saying father. You see, it says father and mother. But I'm just saying father because I'm talking about Founders Day. Amen. Right? So honor your father is an important key for surviving and for doing well. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now, what is the difference between your father or the father and the instructor? The big difference between the father and the instructor is how far-reaching their influence is. Do you see? Because often, instructors relate with us in a very narrow way. Do you see an instructor? Let's say you have someone who is teaching you, let's say a flight instructor. He's just teaching you how to fly. He's not teaching you how to live. Do you get it? But a father's influence is usually more comprehensive. You know, a father's influence is across a wider spectrum of your life. He's interested in everything that has to do with you. So he's teaching you how to dress. He's teaching you how to brush your teeth. He's teaching you what to eat. He's teaching you how to talk. He's interested in your education. He's interested in who your friends are. He's interested in when you go to bed. He's interested in when you wake up. He's interested in how you keep your room. He's interested in whether you drive properly or not. My dad told me once when I was driving, he said, keep both hands on the steering wheel. You know, he always told, and then another thing my dad told me, he said, in relation to overtaking, he said, if you don't see, don't go. He said, if you don't see, don't go. And, you know, things like that. Your father, that's why fathers are talking all the time. All the time. But you see, one of the things that keeps fathers talking all the time is, you see, the Bible explains our condition when we arrive. The Bible says foolishness is bound to the heart of a child. That means we are by default programmed to be foolish. Do you realize that? Do you realize that even when a child starts trying to figure out how to wear their shoes, they always have the right on the left and the left. How come right always looks like it fits the left and left always looks like it fits the right? Why don't they get it right sometimes? Do you get it? Yeah. Yeah, but my wife says it's the way the brain is. Now, if the brain is like that, then most likely across your life, a lot of things that are meant to be on the right, you will be choosing them for the left. That means you'll be calling a lot of wrong things right. And when you embrace wrong as right, you'll soon be crying. If we leave those kids in the back there by themselves, it won't be long before they'll start coming in crying one after the other. Because they called right wrong, and they called wrong right. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So we just are like that. And when you have a father in your life, then the father is going to keep talking and keep talking and keep. And you probably will think they talk too much until you become a father and you also start talking. Yes. Nobody tells a father, okay, ready, set, go, start talking. No. You just start talking. And you realize there is a lot to say. And you have to keep talking. And you have to keep talking. You have to keep talking. And you keep talking while the child is on the conveyor belt. He's growing and growing until he's out of your influence. So you have to keep talking. And sometimes when you see that it's coming to an end, you have to speed up, say more things quickly. Try to say more things quickly and strongly and insist on something because the time is about to finish. You know, and when it gets here, it's almost finished. Done or not done, ends up in somebody's house. Becomes someone's husband or someone's. So a lot of marital problems are actually just dealing with leftover foolishness. You get it? What could not be completed? You see, what is just the leftover? Whatever remained. Yeah. Yes. And I'm sure that sometimes some parents, when they hear that their children are having certain difficulties in their marriage, they're not surprised. They just can't. The fine protocol will not allow them. I mean, if your daughter comes to you and tells you, I'm having this issue, you can't tell her, I told you so. You have to tell, oh, really? And you just go and comfort her. It's okay. It's all right. It shall be well. But you know exactly what it is. This is it. We'll never clean up her room. We'll never wash the dishes. We'll never do all these things. Same problem. That's what's happening right there. It's your blessing to have someone speak into your life. Can I have an amen? To have someone speak. And you see, we're talking about the difference. An instructor is just speaking to you about just a small part of your life. Whatever he's hired to instruct you on, that's what he's going to do. So if it's music, he's just going to teach you music, and that's it. Whether you brush your teeth or not, it's up to you. Do you see what I'm saying? If he's to teach you how to play the violin, he only cares about you bringing the violin along. Bring that and they just show you, this is the bass clef, this is the, you do this, and that's it. And he'll tell you as much about it as possible. But after the violin lesson, you understand there's more to life than playing a violin. You get it? You can't just go to the restaurant and, can I have some food to eat? Where's the money? Then you start to play the violin. No. There's more to life than playing the violin. And it's a father that gives you that comprehensive package that prepares you for life in a comprehensive way. Can I have an amen? Now, let's go to types of fathers. Because as you go through life, you're going to find that there is more than one type of father. Amen. Number one is your heavenly father. Your heavenly father. Your heavenly father, we all know, is God. Amen? Everyone must learn to relate with God as a father. You must think of God as a father. The relationship God wants to have with us is that of a father and a son. That's why you're called a child of God. not just a Christian, but that you are a child of God. Amen. Amen. Expect God to deal with you as he's dealing with his son. Wow. Expect God to deal and to relate with you like he's relating with his son. And if God is going to relate with you as a son, then you must relate with him as a father. Amen. Amen. That means you must look up to him. Hallelujah. You must look up to him. Learn to take it to the Lord in prayer. Isn't it? Learn to take it to the Lord in prayer. You know that song that says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit." It's like peace that could be yours that you just give up. And what needless pain we bear. And he says, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That is a very scriptural song. In Philippians, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. That means be anxious or worry about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, along with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Hallelujah. And then the next verse, verse 7 says, and the peace. Can you see it? That's why the songwriter said, what peace we often forfeit. Do you get it? It says, what peace we often forfeit and what needless pain we bear. Do you see? But where's the verse? Bring the verse back. Right. He says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and your mind. When people are disturbed, the two main areas, your heart and your mind. Is it not true? Yeah. The other day I was speaking to someone and the person's mind was disturbed. Because her heart was broken. That's a combo. That one is a combo. Because sometimes you get just one. Where the person's mind is disturbed by his heart is not necessarily broken. But this person's mind was disturbed because her heart was broken. Do you understand? Yes. And the Bible says there is a peace you can experience. Which passeth all understanding. No one can even understand how you can be at peace with such circumstances. Do you see? But there's a peace, and he says comes from God. There's a peace of God which passeth all understanding, which will keep your heart and will keep your mind. Hallelujah. In this world, you need that treatment. You need this therapy every now and then. Everybody needs this on a daily basis. You need the peace of God keeping your mind. You need the peace of God keeping your heart. Do you get it? You need the peace of God preserving you. You need the peace of God. You need God helping you to sort of settle and to come to a place of restfulness in such a restless world. In a world that has things going all the time, so much going on, people are talking, television, you know, you're just being bombarded with information on your iPad, on your phone, your device. Even your phone alone has too many apps that are bringing you information. Isn't it? Don't you get tired of it sometimes when you wake up and you see how many messages, it's like how many people are trying to talk to you even while you are asleep? It's a very busy world. And you need to be able to have peace. But the Bible says it's the peace of God. Amen. Amen. How does it come? It's the verse before, verse 6. It comes by being careful for nothing. That means not being anxious. You get it? Learning the art of not worrying. You have to learn how not to worry. Amen. Because worrying does not take a problem away. Worrying just prolongs the effect of the problem on you. Because worrying about the problem precedes worrying because of the problem. Do you see? Your worry in anticipation of the problem is free. That's That's a bonus, you know, window of an unsettled mind. It's just a period of time where you're just going to worry because of what you see coming. Then when what you see coming eventually arrives, it will come with its own difficulties. So God is trying to spare you at least that early part. And he says, be careful for nothing. Then he says, but in everything, that means in your marriage, it means in raising your kids, it means where your job is concerned, it means in your finances, it means where your health is concerned, where your relationships are concerned. He said, in everything, everything, everything by prayer. It means really, it shouldn't be so hard to be prayerful. If you just become a person who prays about everything, you will have a lot to pray about. Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. He says, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let your requests be made known unto God. What do you want? What is it that is bothering you so much? Let your requests be made known unto God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let your requests be made known unto God. God wants you to relate with him like you know he is your father. Amen. He wants you to relate with him as your heavenly father. Amen. Do you understand? Yes. He wants you to relate with him as someone who cares about you. A father cares about his children. Amen. Amen. Now, one of the things that gets us when it comes to our relationship with God is that the devil keeps beating us up with our sins and our mistakes and keeps telling us that God is not interested in us. God will not hear our prayers. God is not going to hear this prayer. Look at you, you're praying. And he starts laughing at you until even you start laughing at yourself and you stop praying. Because the devil has convinced you that God is not interested in listening to someone like you. How could God be interested in someone like you? So do you know what you have to take care of first? You have to take care of a whole lot of things before you come and do this prayer, you know. And then he would tell you that, you know, those people in the church, they are praying. Yeah, that's because they are not like you. They're not like you. You're copying them, but they are not like you. They're not like you. I mean, those are good people. Those are really good people. I mean, when you go to the church and you see someone like Paul, you get it? I mean, Paul went to the barber, I tell you, and you can tell. He looks so clean, nicely, you know, and he looks good. I mean, it's, how can this guy do anything bad? You see, now you're all so messed up. You see, and you're trying to be like Paul. Like Paul is praying, you also are praying. Come on. But he's a liar.
Amen.
Even when we have messed up, God still cares about us. God is still interested in us. When your children mess up, are you not still interested in them? You're still interested in them. Sometimes the deeper the trouble, the greater your interest. Yeah, that is why when children are crying, children like to cry because they know it gets them attention.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they cry and they scream. And sometimes you see some children, you can see. Yeah, because they know that it gives them their attention. The deeper the trouble, the quicker the response. Well, apply that to God. Because if even you, in your imperfect state, know how to respond quickly to the troubles of your children, how much more the purest of all, our Heavenly Father. Do you understand? Look at this passage in Luke, the book of Luke. Luke chapter, I think it's Luke chapter 11, right? Luke chapter 15, rather. Luke chapter 15 and from verse 20. Here is a boy who messed up. And look at how his father receives him. Luke chapter 15, right? He says, and he arose. Well, read verse 19 first. Give us verse 19. Verse 19 says, the boy said, I'm going to get up and go to my father and say to him that I have sinned and so on. Then he says, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. How often do we feel that way? I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. It's a very common Christian feeling. I'm no more worthy. Even some people stop coming to church because of that. It's based on, I'm no more worthy. I don't feel like I'm worthy. I mean, the devil just corners people and tells them things. He's a liar. And lies to them, and he tells them, look, you this church thing, you've tried it. It's not working. You get it? It's for some people, you know, but not your type. And he tells them that you're no more worthy. You left the house, you've bumped it all, and the whole thing is spoiled. You don't have to go back to church. Why don't you just stay home and try to be good? Practice goodness at home. That way, even when it falls apart, no one can see it. Do you get it? But get used to being good. You just stay here. Don't go to church. Just stay here. All you have to do is to pray in the mornings. And then just try to put yourself together a little bit. Do you see? So you are pre-cooked before you get to the church. You get it? But if you land in the church in this, your raw state, you are probably going to even need to take smoke breaks during the service. So why don't you just stay out of church for a little bit, learn how to go for longer periods without smoking, you know, and just get to at least practice surviving a service. And then when you get used to it, you can now come to church. So this boy was sitting somewhere and he said, I'm no more worthy. I'm no more worthy, you know. But he just said, in spite of that feeling, I'm going to get up and go to my father's house. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you see, where's the verse? Maybe go back a little bit. Go to verse 18, I think. I will arise. I will get up. I will get out of this bed. I'm getting up. I'm arising. I am going in spite of my feelings. He said, I will arise and go to my father. I will arise and go to my father means he's going somewhere, isn't it? Yeah, he's not just speaking to the father in his bed, but he's arising and he's making a move. You know, and sometimes you just need to arise and make a move.
That's right.
In spite of the feeling, just get up and make a move. Amen. Just get up and go.
Amen.
And you can see the feeling has not changed. He says, I will say to him, Father, I have sinned. Do you see? I have sinned against heaven and before thee. It's a fact.
Yeah.
It is true. I am guilty. It's written all over me, but I'm coming anyway.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Everyone can see it, but I'm coming anyway. He said, I will arise and I'll go and I'll say to him, Father, all of this is possible because you're talking about your father.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
We're not talking about your friend. You can't arise and go to your friend so easily because a friend will not take you back so easily. After you have sinned and messed up in this way, you have no hope with many friends. If it was down to a friend, down to a brother, or even your boss. Yeah. I mean, you suddenly take off, you don't go to work for like 2 weeks. You don't call anybody. You see, you don't call anybody. Very important assignments and so on depend on you, and you haven't done them, and you just took off lying on some beach in San Diego and have been there for like 2 weeks just chilling. You know you need to arise, but suddenly you can't come back here. arise and go somewhere else, but not back to. But this guy said, because he's my father, because he's my father, because he's my father, it makes a big difference. Hallelujah. Makes a big difference. If you have a child, you need to learn how to be a father from this father. Hallelujah. That we never write people off. No matter what people do, we never give up on people. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, I will arise and I'll go to him and I'll say to him, Father, it is true. I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Right? And he said, right now, the way I feel right now, I feel like I'm no more worthy. I'm no more qualified to be called your son. I know I'm not a good Christian. I'm not a good child of God. I know I'm not one of those perfect, nice, singing, Brother Paul-like type of people. But I've come anyway. Do you see? And he said, make me as one of thy hired servants. He just said, you know, just put me somewhere there. I'm okay. Then look at the next verse. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. Because a lot of people think it, but they never do it. Wow. Next week, I'm going to go. Next week, I'm going to go, but they never do it. I'm going to go next week. Oh, no, I'm going. This month, I want to start from the first of the month, so it's clean. All right? So I want to have a clean start. Right? What's the date today? Today is the 30th. So tomorrow. Right, all right. So today, instead of coming with my April sins to church today, you know, let me burn today. I will not come to church today. Starting the first Sunday of May, then I can say that is a clean break, isn't it? Yeah, but they never do it. But this guy said, I will, and he did. He said, he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him.
Amen.
So God can see you even before you see him.
Wow.
When the turnaround begins in your heart, God spots it.
Wow.
God can already see it. God can already see it when your heart is beginning to switch and just turn towards him. Hallelujah. And he said, when he was a great way off, his father saw him and he had what? Not anger. Do you see? So it's not like you think. He had compassion.
Hallelujah.
Compassion. God's response to your mess is compassion.
Hallelujah.
That's how God is waiting to respond to you. Compassion. Compassion. Feelings of pity. God feels compassion towards his people. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Wow. This is God's response to your feeling. Your feeling is, I'm not worthy. And God says, you deserve kisses. Kisses. You deserve kisses and hugs, isn't it? Yeah. Fell on his neck means, you know, how do you fall on someone's neck? How are you going... Elpak says I should demonstrate it. Well, here's one neck I can fall on, right? Yeah. Yeah. He ran and he embraced him, and God made, our heads and so movable so that we can, and he says, yes, you do, and you see how it locks nicely, Yeah. And he said, he fell on his neck and he kissed him. Yeah, I see. This is where you guys are taking me. Right. Follow the scriptures. All right. Then, next verse, quickly, please. Look, our time is up. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Can you see that? Then the next verse. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe.
Hallelujah.
Wow. The best robe for for the worst condition. His highest for your lowest. God is meeting you at your lowest point with his best.
Hallelujah.
He said, bring the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his finger. Yeah. Everybody knows that once a ring is coming on somebody's finger, we're talking about a covenant.
Yeah.
We're talking about a relationship.
Right.
Yeah. Even someone meets someone, they only plan to marry them. They're not marrying them yet, just a plan. And they want to put a ring on their finger. Yeah. Yeah. So bring your finger, let me put something to show I own you. All right? That you're spoken for, that you're on layaway. Do you know layaway? Yeah. Yeah. Lay away means you can't be sold to anybody else. That at least I have a period of time to come and sort out this payment. Yeah. And until that time expires, you can't be sold to anyone else. And they do that with a ring. So put a ring on his finger. But the father said, put a ring on and put shoes on his feet. Come on, put shoes on his feet. Yeah, put, you know, and sometimes people take off all these things because it's your own effort. You're trying to be holy yourself. Do you understand? Yeah, but God said, put shoes on his feet. Clean him up, make him nice. And then look at the next one. Next one quickly, please. Verse 23, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let's eat and be merry. It's party time.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Amen. So our response when we're behaving like the Father, our response to backsliders is party time. It's we must embrace them. We must have a party. We must be happy. We must celebrate. Let them know that we are happy to have them back. Hallelujah. This is the relationship God wants to have with you. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
This is the relationship God wants to have with you. So see God as your heavenly Father. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Next week, I'm going to share with you the other types of fathers. But right now, our time is up. Please stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just bow your heads, everybody, and let us pray. I want you to close your eyes. Everybody can think of a father somewhere. May not even be your biological father. What it is that God gives different people at different seasons in our lives to be fathers to us. Sometimes God will give you to be a father to others. But today God is speaking to us about fatherhood. And whichever side of fatherhood you fall, whether you're the son or you're the father, God has a word and a message for you today. God is speaking to you. You need to open your heart and say, Lord, you are such a perfect father. And I'm asking you to impart a little bit of yourself into me. And help me to be a good father. Help me to be a good son. Help me to respond appropriately to the fathers that you have placed in my life in the name of Jesus. Oh God, help me. Everybody just pray. Just talk to God and say, Lord, I need your help. I need your help to know how to be a good son. How not to be a dangerous son. How not to be a son who causes shame, a son who brings reproach. How not to be a daughter who causes shame. How not to be a daughter who is ungrateful for the things my father has done for me. How not to be harsh in my judgment of my father. Lord, please help me in the name of Jesus. Talk to God. Just take a moment to talk to God. Everybody, just talk to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord. Help us, oh God, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name. Now, as we close the service, maybe you're here today and you want to come into this father-son, father-daughter relationship with God. You know in your heart that you're not saved. You're not born again. You can't call God your father. Yes, he is your creator and you believe it, and that's fine. But God wants to be more than your creator. God wants to be your father. God wants to be your father. And to demonstrate his commitment to that, he sent his son Jesus to die for you. Sent his son Jesus, his only begotten son, to die for you. To wash away your sins, which are about the only thing that stands between you and him. God is washing away sins today. And God is throwing an invitation to you. God is inviting you. Remember, he sees you afar off. And God is inviting you to himself. Don't turn this invitation down. God can't and will not hurt you. God wants to show you his love. God wants you to know you are accepted no matter who you are, no matter where you are falling down to. God wants to restore you and God wants to make you his own dear son, his own dear daughter. God wants to restore that relationship. And I pray that you would do what that gentleman did, which is he said, I will, and he arose. He did. Why don't you also rise up today in your heart and say, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I want to begin. It doesn't matter how many times you've done this. You can do it again. God is never tired of his children coming back to him. Just like you will not be tired of your children coming back to you. And even if you were ever tired of your children coming back to you, God will never be tired of us coming back to him. I want you to pray today and say, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you want to do that, I want to help you in a prayer. So I want to lead all of us to say this prayer. So let's just say together, say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Please come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood wash me, Lord. I want to relate with you as my Father. I see you as my heavenly Father. Please accept me as a son. Please accept me as a daughter. And Lord, from today, I want to live like a child of God. I want to live like a child of God. Give me strength, Lord. Give me courage, Lord. Give me boldness to always come back to you, no matter how low I fall. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you clap your hands for the Lord? Amen. How many are blessed today? How many can see that God is your heavenly Father? Wow. Amen. God wants to relate with you like he's your father. Amen. God will take care of you. God will take care of your needs. Amen. God will forgive you. God has the best robe for you. If you will just come back to him, God will put the best robe on you. Amen. And make you feel special again. Hallelujah. Right. Now let's come to the Lord's table. Let's have communion this morning. Thank you, Lord. So can you bring one of these to everyone? Just share. Yes, bring one to everyone. I think there are fewer people on my left, so just do this. All right. Spirit, we and will live forever. Sons of God, here is all your gathering. The table of the Lord in his body, drink his blood, and we'll sing a song. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the living bread. John chapter 6 and verse 51. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Amen. Amen. He said, I'm talking about some bread. And if anyone partakes of this bread, he will live forever. Amen. Right? Then he says, the bread I'm talking about is my flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. I will give. He said, the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So Christ has purchased your life. Amen. And every time we have communion, what you're doing is you're showing the proof of purchase. You're showing again, this is the receipt. This is the proof that your life belongs to him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If your life belongs to him, it means the devil cannot have his way with you. Amen. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is why the Bible calls him a thief. Because a thief, by definition, takes something that does not belong to him. Isn't it? Yes. And the mode by which he takes it is what we call stealing. Because usually he would like to trick you and not make you aware of what is going on. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But God is telling us today that your life belongs to him.
Amen.
I said your life belongs to him.
Amen.
Your life belongs to him. Amen. Stop believing that you are part for God and part for something else. Part for God and part for alcohol. Part for God and part for fornication. Part for God and part for sin. No. You belong in your entirety to God.
Amen.
You belong to God. Your life belongs to him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Amen.
Amen.
Lift up your bread and let us pray. Father, we thank you for the bread of life. The bread that you gave for the life of the world, which includes us. That we who were otherwise very far off can have life and have hope because of you. Thank you, Lord, for life. Today we raise up this communion against anything that will seek to terminate our lives. Against sickness. Against accidents. Against things that shorten life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Things that ruin lives. Decisions that destroy lives. Decisions that leave us half dead. Choices that make us walk around but with no hope for any future. Redeem us today.
Amen.
From every such curse.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your life is redeemed from every such curse.
Amen.
Anything that is set against your prosperity, set against your healthy living, is canceled today in the name of Jesus. We lift up this body and the blood of Jesus as an answer to any claim to your life, whether it comes from your background or from your own mistakes, any entitlement that the forces of darkness have to you and to your life and to anything that you have on any side. Today we lift up the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus as an answer to that claim, as our response to that claim. In the name of Jesus, the claim to your health, we lift up the blood of Jesus as our response to that claim. In the name of Jesus, anything that God has blessed you with, which is dying in your hands, whether it's a relationship or an opportunity, whatever God has placed in your hands that is gradually slipping away. Whatever it is that is slipping away, you're just looking on helplessly and you don't know what to do to save it. The blood to the rescue. The blood is stepping in right now. And the blood is speaking on your behalf. The blood is fighting on your behalf. The blood will fight for you in the name of Jesus. He said, I give my flesh for the life of the world. Thank you, Jesus, for your provision and your blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now take the bread and say with me, the body of Jesus Christ.
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 You may eat the bread. Open the wine. You are about to receive a blood transfusion.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Every spiritual anemic condition is being cured.
Amen.
Every disease in your blood is receiving treatment.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
As you drink this, connect your faith to it and believe that you are taking in something physical that's going to do something spiritual.
Amen.
In your life. Say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. You may drink it. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. We thank you for the cross of Jesus upon which we can lean and throw ourselves because of the blood that will never lose its power, the blood that reaches to the highest mountain and flows down to the lowest valley. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. Thank you for the blessing of the cross. We will cling to the cross. We will cling to the cross. Grant us to be able to hold very fast onto the cross, because that is our only hope. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your blessing on the service today. Thank you for every spiritual blessing. Thank you for every counsel you have given us today. For every admonishment you have given to us today. Give us the grace, Lord, to walk in it, O God. May we not be hearers of the word only, but doers, 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 O God, of what we have heard. In the name of Jesus, teach us to honor our fathers. Teach us to honor the people through whom we have come to be, O God, in the name of Jesus, that it may be well with us and that we will dwell and live long on this earth. We thank you, O God, for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I will cling to the Hallelujah. You may be seated, please. Right.